He is more eager to answer our prayer than we are eager to pray. Very often, the reason God says no or wait, not yet, to one of your prayers is because you're not fit yet to receive it because of a lack of eagerness.
Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Scripture often calls us to wait on the Lord. But what does that mean? What's the difference between waiting and not waiting? Sometimes we ask God for things that wouldn't be good for us. We think we're asking for something good, but God knows it really wouldn't be. So he says no. Today, we're going to learn how to wait on God in such a way as to turn some of those bad gifts that God won't give us into good gifts that God will give us.
God cuts off the supply of his gifts to the unreceptive people, but he pours them out on the receptive people. However, receptivity is not a passive thing, it's an active thing. It's not just agreeing to accept something. And that's important to understand, because I think people think that way. There's a lot of people who, you often hear people talk about accepting Jesus into your heart as your own personal Savior. Right? Just accept, and it's almost like they're painting a picture where Jesus is just pleading, please, please, please accept me, please accept this gift of salvation, and finally you say, okay, you can save me if you want. And it's just, it's sort of this passive thing. That's not the picture Scripture gives us of what it's like when a person becomes a Christian. Now, it's true. Becoming a Christian is receiving a good gift. A free gift. You don't become a Christian by the works of the law. You do not earn it or work for it in that way. People in John 1:11 were lost because they didn't receive Jesus. It is the receiving of a gift. However, receiving and accepting are two different things. Accepting is passive. You're waiting around, you know, willing to take something. Receiving is active. In fact, if you look up that word receiving, it's interesting. One other place it's used is John 14:3, and you'll see the active sense of it if you just look it up. John 14:3, Jesus said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to be with me so that you may also be where I am." So he's not just, I'll accept. It's a taking. In fact, usually that word is translated to take. It's usually the normal translation. So it's active, not just passive. And this is the measure of spiritual health. The level of eagerness in your heart measures how far along you are spiritually. When we desire evil things, then that means something in us is perverted and messed up. When we desire good things, that is godliness. Your desires, your longings, the passion with which you desire good things, that's all a measure of your spirituality. There's a sliding scale. It's not just that some people are receptive and some people are unreceptive. There's a sliding scale of receptivity. We all have a certain amount of eagerness and a certain amount of dullness. And wherever you are on that line, however eager you are for God's good gifts, that's the measure of your spirituality, your spiritual maturity. It's hard for me to think of a battle in the Christian life that is ultimately not won or lost right here at the level of desire. That's the core of everything, isn't it? The only men who are qualified to be pastors in the church are people who love the good, Titus 1:8. It's the mark of nobility in the kingdom. No, we see that with the Bereans in Acts 17:11, which is a verse that's very often misunderstood. I mentioned it last week, but I didn't explain it. I should probably explain it. Very often people think that the Bereans in Acts 17 were praised because they were skeptical. You know, it says the Bereans were a more noble character than the Thessalonians because they received the message with great eagerness and they examined the Scriptures daily to see if what Paul was saying was true. And that kind of strikes us like, wow, they're checking out. They're double-checking Paul. That's pretty extreme. And so we think, they won't take Paul's word for it. They're skeptical. They got to check it out for themselves. When we take that interpretation, what we're doing is we're ignoring the middle portion of this verse. The Bereans were not praised for being skeptical. They're praised for being eager and receptive. It's not that they heard what Paul said and they say, it doesn't sound right to me. I'm going to check that out. I'm skeptical. I'm slow to believe that. That's not the point of that verse at all. They were eager to receive the message. They heard it. It says, now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures daily. They were eager to receive. They heard what Paul said, and they loved it. Like, wow, that's great. Oh, I hope that's true. I got to check, see if this is true. I got to look this up. Is that true? Is it in here? Let it be in here. Let it be in here. Oh, there it is. It's true. You know, and that's the attitude that you have in Acts 17:11. They're eager. That's why they're looking in the Scriptures. So, they're called noble. They're more noble because of that. Nobility, that word noble, it means to be high-born. In the worldly kingdoms, you get into nobility, you have blue blood just by birth. You know, you're born into nobility. In the kingdom of God, you get into royalty, not by birth, but by eagerness, earnestness, desire. The more intense your desire, the higher up you are.
What does it mean to wait for someone? It means to refuse any substitute. If you go to pick up your child from school and find they aren't there because they got a ride with someone else, you'd ask them, why didn't you wait? Right? Failure to wait means taking some other alternative. Waiting on the Lord means refusing any alternative. When your life is dry, you feel empty or depressed, anxious, unhappy in some way, the remedy is an experience of the presence of God. That's the remedy. And you will have that experience when you seek it with all your heart. But you'll never seek it with all your heart if you fail to wait on God and instead you snack on earthly junk food to medicate those negative feelings. What are the earthly alternatives, the junk food, that tend to keep you from waiting on the Lord?
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.